Already turned. We're turning to Galatians chapter 5 tonight. Galatians chapter 5, and let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray that as we study these fruits of the Spirit, that we would allow you to put a desire in our hearts for these things to be manifested in our life, that we might be a blessing to you, that we might be a blessing to the people who we work with and labor with and come in contact with every day. That we might have a love for one another. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to look at the final five fruits of the Spirit. And the first one is gentleness. Gentleness. We know what gentleness is. It's kindness. In fact, this word, is word 5544, is translated kindness four other times in the New Testament. A couple of weeks ago, when we were looking at joy, and we were thinking and talking about how joy is not to be determined by our circumstances, we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul talks about what it means to be the ministers of God. And in particular, he talks about the circumstances in which God's people will minister. He talks about how they'll minister in afflictions and necessities and distresses, even in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and fastings. And yet, in the midst of all these difficult circumstances, he tells us that we're to be always rejoicing. Always rejoicing, as we talked about. And not only that, he tells us in verse 6 that we're to minister in all of these circumstances. How we're to minister? By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness. That's word 5544. The word that is translated gentleness here in verse 22. And just as a side note, the word long-suffering in that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is the same as the word long-suffering here. And so not only is our joy not to be determined by our circumstances, but neither is our long-suffering and kindness. Neither is our gentleness to one another. And yet so many times in my life, I can't speak for your life. Mine is the only one that I can speak for. These fruits of the Spirit are based on my circumstances instead of being based on abiding in the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that whatever the circumstances, these things will be an outgrowth, be the outgrowth of my abiding in Him. Gentleness is kindness. And Paul tells us something about how it's manifested in our lives. Look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 for just a minute. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we want to notice how Paul describes his heart toward the people of Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. He says, "But we were gentle among you." We were gentle among you. How gentle? "Even as a nurse cherisheth her children." So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Look at the wording here. Gentle, cherisheth, affectionately desirous, seeing people as dear unto us. Paul is defining gentleness here as a fruit of the Spirit. He's describing what it means to be gentle and kind. He wrote in Romans 12 and verse 10, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." In other words, honor one another above ourselves. Philippians 2:3, "Let nothing be done through strife." Strife is the exact opposite of gentleness and kindness. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind." That's a good description of gentleness. "In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Ephesians 4 and verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 24, says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive." That word means to fight. And it not only refers to those who engage in physical combat, but it also refers to those, and I think it's the meaning, the primary meaning, it refers to those who strive in words, who engage in a war of words, those who quarrel and dispute and argue. You will never, never have any impact for the Lord Jesus Christ if you strive with words with people. And so God says the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Our gentleness is manifested in the gentle, patient teaching and instructing of the Word of God. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Gentleness does not mean compromising the truth. It means speaking the truth in love. So here are all these words that define gentleness. Cherisheth, affection, dear, kindly affectioned, brotherly love, lowliness of mind, kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, patient, meek. And when we think about all of these words that define gentleness, then we understand why it's a fruit of the Spirit. Because gentleness is the antithesis of all that we are by nature. And so it can only be manifested in our lives as believers as we abide in the vine, as we abide in the Lord Jesus and allow His life to be manifested in our lives. Calvary Christian School is about to start. Can you imagine the kind of year we would have if each of us manifested this fruit of the Spirit, gentleness in our lives, and we demonstrated it toward our students and our parents and one another? What a year. What a year we'd have. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The next fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Goodness. That word means uprightness of heart and life. And immediately, again, when we hear that word goodness and its meaning, we know why it's the fruit of the Spirit. Because there is none that doeth good. No, not one. In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. The message of the Bible is that you and I can no more do good after we're saved than the Ethiopian can change his spots or the leopard, or his skin or the leopard changes spots. Because we're evil. The Lord Jesus said, ye being evil. Every imagination of the thoughts of our heart is only evil continually. And so the only way that goodness can be manifest in our lives is to abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. Without me, ye can do nothing. And allow the life of the vine, the life of the Spirit of God, who is good. There's none good but one, that is God. Allow that life, his life, to flow into us and out of us. That is, Paul wrote that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Our body that is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The next fruit of the Spirit is faith. Faith. You and I by nature have no faith. None. We have works. Works. We have the works of the flesh. That's what we studied earlier in this chapter. Works that are the very opposite of faith. We have no faith. All we have is unbelief. Unbelief. And that's confirmed to us by Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that faith, that not of yourselves. We don't have any faith. Faith, as that verse tells us, is the gift of God. The gift of God. And it's given to those who come to the Lord with the attitude of heart of the man who brought his demon-possessed son to the Lord Jesus. Turn back for just a minute to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I think you are familiar with the account here. There's this man who brought his son to the disciples for them to cast out this evil spirit, this demon that his son had. And they couldn't do it. And so he comes to the Lord Jesus. And he says to the Lord in verse 22, in the middle there, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now notice what the Lord said to him. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. The Lord's words there are so critical. If thou canst believe. Those words tell us that by nature, we can't believe. All we know by nature is doubt. All that we know by nature is unbelief. We have no faith. And so the Lord's words are a message to this man. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now listen to Mark 9:24. Because this man got the Lord's message. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What's this man acknowledging? He's acknowledging that all he has is unbelief. He has no faith. And what he's saying is, Lord, if you don't give me faith, I'm not going to have any faith. Look at verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I want to suggest a thought to you here. I've written Ephesians chapter 2 in the margin of my Bible here. Because there is, I believe, a parallel to the circumstances here and what we read in Ephesians chapter 2. We can see ourselves in this account. We can see ourselves in this Father. All we have is unbelief. We can see ourselves in this demon-possessed son. Ephesians 2 and verse 2 describes those who are lost. It describes us before we were saved as walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were demon-possessed when we were lost. So we see ourselves in this son. We see ourselves in the description of this son as being as one dead. We see ourselves here. But look at verse 27. But Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together in Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Isn't that what is pictured here? This father acknowledged, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when he came to the Lord Jesus with that attitude of heart, the Lord gave him his faith. His faith that is the gift of God. And God raised his demon-possessed son up. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 says, Of you and I, if we're saved, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The picture here is being justified. But justified how? By the faith of Christ. By the faith of Christ. Because he believed in Jesus Christ, then he might be justified by the faith of Christ. We read that earlier in Galatians chapter 3. And when we're justified by the faith of Christ, then we receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of faith. And now that gift of faith can become the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as we abide in the vine. And his faith, remember, we have none. His faith, can't emphasize that enough. His faith, then, is manifest in our lives. And that brings us to a verse that we talk about fairly often. It's a wonderful verse. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, Colossians 2:6, so walk ye in him. We received him with the attitude of heart. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And we were justified by the faith of Christ. It is the gift of God. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. That's how we are saved. And that's how we're to walk in him. That is exactly what Galatians 2:20 says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, listen, I live by my faith? No, I don't have any. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. A lot of ways to begin our day every day. But that little prayer is not a bad way to begin our day every day. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And now, living by the faith of the Son of God, the fruit of the Spirit, faith, can be manifested in our lives, and we can be faithful. Faithful. That's one of the meanings of this word, faith. It means the character of one who can be relied on. The character of one who can be relied on. And living by the faith of the Son of God allows his character that can be relied on, it's the only character that can be relied on, to be manifest in our lives. That's how we can be faithful. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. The next fruit of the Spirit is meekness. Meekness. If you look this word up in the Strong's Concordance, you find that it means gentleness. It means mildness. Webster's dictionary defines meekness as being mild of temper, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, given to forbearance under injuries. In other words, when we're in distresses and difficulties and problems, it means humble. It means being submissive to the divine will. It means not proud or self-sufficient, not disobedient or headstrong or obstinate or willful. Meekness, like long-suffering, is inseparably related to love. Listen to how love is described in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. Charity suffereth long. It's long-suffering. It's one of the meanings of meekness, too. Forbearance under injuries. Charity suffereth long and is kind. It's one of the meanings. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Meekness is not given to pride or self-sufficiency. Charity vaunteth not itself. That word vaunteth means to boast oneself, to display self. It means employing rhetoric, rhetorical embellishments in extolling one's self. That's what the word vaunteth means. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. These are the things that define meekness. I like how David Cloud defined meekness. He said, meekness is being weak, to defend one's own opinion, but strong to defend God and His Word. Weak to promote self, but strong to promote God and His Word. Weak toward fulfilling one's own will, but strong toward doing the will of God. Weak for personal views, but strong for God's truth. All of that can be summed up by saying that meekness is being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We see all of this in the life of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was meek. He said in Matthew 11:29, "For I am meek and lowly in heart." Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. Meekness is the opposite of all that we are by nature. And yet, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's available to every child of God, if we are willing to abide in the vine. We talked about what that means in our first message, I think. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, the vine doesn't work to produce fruit. It's the natural outgrowth of abiding in the vine. The final fruit of the Spirit is temperance. Temperance is self-control. And I like to think about this word maybe in a little bit different way. Moses comes to mind when I think about this word, temperance. We just talked about meekness, being mild of temper, not easily provoked, not easily irritated. Meekness and temperance are so closely related to each other. They go hand in hand. In Numbers 12 and verse 3, we read this. The man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That is an incredible statement for God to make about a man. And He made that statement about Moses. Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. We see it in his life. You remember when he was challenged by those men who came to him and said, you take too much on yourself. What did he do? He fell on his face. He fell on his face. Moses was not only a meek man, he was a man of temperance. Temperance. He was a man under control of the Lord. But here's the point. In Numbers chapter 20, in a moment of time, Moses lost his meekness and he became intemperate. He lost control. He lost his restraint. He lost his temper. He was provoked and irritated. And what was the manifestation of his loss of temperance? Psalm 106, beginning at verse 32, tells us that the people of Israel angered Moses at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Think about that. What that teaches us is that the greatest manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit, the greatest manifestation of temperance in my life and in your life is right here. Right there. Temperance, that fruit of the Spirit, is manifested in me. It's manifested in you when we are swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That fruit of the Spirit is manifested when we speak advisedly with our lips. When you speak carefully and cautiously and thoughtfully, with temperance, under control of the Spirit of God. Think about how many times we've been intemperate with our lips, with our words. And we've wounded people. We've wounded the people around us. We've misrepresented the Lord to them. In verse 24, Paul tells us how we can bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That keeps coming back to Galatians 2:20, doesn't it? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, and we do if we're saved, the Spirit of Jesus Christ lives within us. If we live in the Spirit, then let, there's that word again, let. That word let that means to allow by an act of our will. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. May we abide in the vine, that the fruit of the Spirit, all of these things might be manifest in our lives. Father, we thank you for allowing us to study your word for a few moments tonight. And we pray that we would allow you to use it in our lives. Help us to be tired of low Christian living. Help us to be tired with being spiritual every Sunday and then going our own way the other 6 days of the week. Give us a desire to be like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask it in his name. Amen.